Okay. In case you didn't get the clues from the videos, this is Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. Pentecost was a regular festival that the Jewish people held, just like Passover and some of the other festivals. This was a regular one, and it went on for about a week. But Pentecost itself refers to 50 days, and that's basically what it means. So it's 50 days after Passover. And there was a feast because there was a harvest of one of the grains. I forget which one. So that was part of the festival too. But it was a celebration, a time of celebration. And that's why there were so many people in Jerusalem at that time, because it was a festival. And people would come to worship the Lord and celebrate and everything. So it was a perfect time for this to happen, for the coming of the Holy Spirit, because there would be so many people in the city celebrating and to see and hear what happened. So if you want to put the scriptures up, Dale, I'd appreciate it. No. Okay. But there are some things that led up to it. And that's what I want to cover first. So some of these things that led up to Pentecost. Here in the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking. Now this is after his resurrection, but before he ascended into heaven. And he's speaking to his disciples. And he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Do you believe in him? You know a lot of the works that he did? What are some of the things that he did? He healed people. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. A lot of things that he did. So what does he say? You see the works that he's done, and if you believe, you'll do the same things. And even greater, because he's no longer going to be physically on earth to do them. Okay? And we are going to, excuse me, going to be his ambassadors. And he is going to enable us to do the same works that he did. So if you're a believer, it's possible for you to be doing the same types of things that he did. That was one of his promises. Now further on in the same gospel, this is in chapter 20, and again this is after his resurrection but before his ascension into heaven. He says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" So if you can picture this, Jesus had already been crucified and resurrected, but the disciples, not having Jesus around anymore, were gathered together, but they were in fear that they would be next, that the authorities would be coming for them. So they're gathered together, and Jesus suddenly appears in their midst. Boy, I wish he would do that here one day. Who knows? But in any event, he appears in the midst and he says, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side as proof that it was him. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay? So he breathed on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit. This was before Pentecost. But yet the disciples already had the Holy Spirit within them. So you might wonder then, why Pentecost? Well, if we're going to be doing the works that he did, we are going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has now taken up residence within us, but there's more to it than that. That's not quite enough. Holy Spirit is residing within us to change us from the inside out. Change our attitudes, change our thinking, change the way we believe. Okay? Bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's what the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit is all about. All right, next set. This is from the Gospel of Mark. Last chapter. Okay? Last chapter in the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus, and again, this is just before his ascension. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here again, like in John. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. I'm assuming we're all believers here, so we should expect some of these signs to follow. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Notice, nobody is excluded. He said, he who believes, he or she who believes. That's the only requirement. Okay? But believing is more than just a mental thing. Okay? It's not like just believing a fact and, okay, that's fine, I understand it. Believing is not only understanding and accepting as fact, but it's acting upon it. That's what the word believe really means from Scripture. That not only do you accept it as truth, but you act upon it. Just like I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, okay, to save me, and I have eternal life. I believe that, and I act upon it. How do I act upon it? Well, I start reading his word, I have fellowship, I study the Bible, I pray, I lead my life according to the way God wants me to. See, that's what believing scripturally is all about. But if we want to do the same things that Jesus did, and here in two different gospels, first in John, he says, if you believe, okay, greater than the works that I've done, you will do. If we want to be like that, okay, we need to accept as truth what the Holy Spirit is available to us for. And we need to be willing to, as the Lord commands us, to do these things. I know it's a fearful thing. What if the Lord spoke to you when he said, oh, I want you to go to the hospital, and the first person that you see, I want you to lay hands on because they're going to be healed. How many of us would do that? God asked people a lot of strange things throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. Strange things, but yet he was faithful to perform them as we obeyed. So, who knows what he might ask us to do. But here now we have in the Gospel of Mark essentially saying the same things. If you believe, these signs are going to follow. And they certainly did in the early church. So something changed from the early church to where we got to. Okay. Now in Luke chapter 24, And remember, back in the Gospel of John, when he appeared to them in the upper room, when they were afraid, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So the disciples had the Holy Spirit. Now, in Luke, here again, before his ascension, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." They already received the indwelling Holy Spirit, but he says here, okay, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. There's a difference between having the Holy Spirit within and having the Holy Spirit upon you. And if you read through the Gospels, you will see that there are many references made to the Holy Spirit being upon Jesus when he performed these miracles. You'll see that word upon. Even in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit came upon people, miracles happened. There's a difference. So he's telling them to wait in the city of Jerusalem. Say, you've got the indwelling Holy Spirit, but now there's another experience involving the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do the very miracles that I'm saying you should be capable of doing, because I'm sending you out now. Okay? I think there's one more, Dale. And then chapter of Acts, second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, remember I mentioned it was like a week-long festival? It's just like we celebrate Christmas. It's the Christmas season. And then when Christmas Day finally comes. Okay, we're still celebrating, but yet now Christmas Day is really the day. So that's what it's referring to here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were celebrating the feast all week, but now the final day has fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven and of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Remember, this is in Acts now. After Jesus ascended, they already had the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now we see this happen. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't be confused by that word, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you look up the definition of that word in the Greek language, what the gospel was written in, it doesn't mean filled like you're filling a cup or a bottle. It means fulfilled or completed. See, they had received the indwelling Holy Spirit as the first portion of the gift of the Spirit, and now the gift was being fulfilled or completed when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Because that word used to confuse me too, but then I looked it up in the Greek, and that's what the word filled there means. At any other time that you see they were filled with the Holy Spirit throughout Acts, that's exactly what it means, because I checked every single one. It means fulfilled or completed, like a fulfilled promise, a completed promise. So they were completed then with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I'm not going to go through the rest of the scripture, but you all know what happened. The people in Jerusalem heard the sound of the wind and everything, wondering, what's this? What's this? Because it was so loud and strong and everything, and they came rushing to the place where the disciples were. And then they heard them speaking in other tongues. And then Peter explained to them. This was the fulfillment of a prophecy from Joel Joel chapter 2, you'll see. It speaks about in the last days, his spirit will be poured out. And that's what happened there at Pentecost. His spirit was poured out upon the believers. And these things happened. And that's what empowered them to go out and to be bold, to do all the miracles and works of God. See, at first they're fearful, huddled together in the upper room. Now, after the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, they're bold, they're courageous. They're able to perform the miracles that Jesus said they would be able to do. But again, that promise is for us too. The only thing is, over the centuries, we somehow got away from that. We somehow started not to believe, not to accept the truth of the gospel, where the Lord enables us. It doesn't mean that the power of the Holy Spirit is at our beck and command, or beck and call, or whatever. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that I can decide to go and perform a miracle someplace. What it means is that if I'm willing to believe and accept it, when the Lord wants me to do something, the power of the Holy Spirit is available to me. But the question is, do I believe that? Do I accept that as truth? Do I believe that he will be there in a miraculous way? Part of the problem is we don't see many miracles happen like that. We don't see people healed when hands are laid on them. We don't see people raised from the dead. But I'll tell you, it happens. It may not happen around here very much, if at all. But there have been many stories from faithful Christian people who have been out, missionaries and whatever, who have reported these very things happening. Because the people that the gospel was preached to had the audacity to believe the word of God and that these things would happen. They accepted it literally. And because of that, it happened. God was able to work miracles through them. God is able to work miracles through any one of you if you just believe. Remember, he's the one that chooses, though, and it's his timing. But be open. Ask the Lord to anoint you in the same way that the disciples or the apostles were. Ask the Lord to send forth his Holy Spirit upon you because you desire to fulfill his commission to you to go out and do these same things. Can you imagine what the town of Walworth would look like if a few of us went out and prayed over people and they got healed, or somebody that had died was raised from the dead? Can you imagine what this town would look like? And how this church would be full. Some of it is up to us to be open, to be willing, to even be desirous of having this happen. God is willing. Granted, it's still up to him in the end, what he is going to do and when and how we're going to be used. But on the other hand, it's up to us to say, like Isaiah did, when the Lord said, you know, who will I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. We need to have that same kind of attitude. Lord, do you want to perform some miracles here in Walworth or the surrounding towns? Yeah. I'm ready. Touch me, Lord. Help me to think right, to believe, to truly believe, to act on your word, which is what believing really means. Help me, Lord, to trust you. Even if I start out in small ways. We really do need to have a Pentecost here. We really do. And I pray that the Lord would send forth his Spirit in that same way. Maybe we won't see tongues of fire on everybody. I don't care. I really want to see the power of the Holy Spirit at work through this church, through you, through me, through all of us. And I think the time is coming. I don't know how many days we have left in this world. You look at the events that are transpiring and you think, gee, can the Lord hold back much longer with all that's going on? Or is he really coming back soon? And if he is, there are scriptures that point to signs and wonders happening in the days prior to his return. And maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he wants to get us ready for that time. And he says, yes, I'm going to show signs and wonders. That's going to be through you. His only question is, are you ready? Are you willing? It's nothing to be feared. It's not a spooky kind of thing. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's a common reaction to something that's different, to something that's miraculous. We tend to fear things we don't understand or that we haven't seen before or whatever, you know, we fear the unknown. But that's not the way it is with God. It's nothing to be feared. It's an experience that the church has lost sight of. The church at large, you know. So, that's my suggestion to you, my urging, that you pray about it, that you seek the Lord. Say, Lord, is this something that you want? Is this something for me? Don't be afraid of it. The Lord wants to use you like never before. And who knows what he might do. So, praise God. There's a lot more that could be said about this, but that would be something for a Bible study as opposed to a message. You can only cover so much in a, in a message. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we long for your presence, Lord, and for your works in our lives. And I know that, speaking for myself, I long to see miracles such as happened in the days of the apostles. I do, because I believe that it's for today. I really do. And I pray for all of us here, Father, that we may be used of you in whatever way you choose. But just help us, Lord, to see the truth of your word, to believe that you are the same God today that you were back then in the days of the apostles, that you are willing to do the same works now as you did back then, using your people as instruments of your grace and might and power. May it be so here, Lord. May we not be afraid to believe. May we not be afraid to even ask, Lord, for that same kind of experience. May we be desirous, Lord, to see your glory and your power at work. Because after all, Lord, it's not for us. It's to benefit others and to bring glory to your name. May it happen here, Lord. May you send forth your Spirit upon us, that we might be mighty in the same works that those apostles did. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.